I appreciate Kevin leading our singing tonight. I want to mention again the meeting in New Caney this Friday and Saturday, 7:30 Friday evening and 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. And I trust that we'll have a good representation from our church to support the meeting there. It'll be a blessing, I'm sure, to hear both of those men preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace. If you will, let's open our Bibles again tonight to the book of Ruth. And this evening, let's turn to chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself and said, "Behold, a woman lay at his feet." And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.' Then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day.'" We began bringing messages several weeks ago from this small book of Ruth, only 4 chapters. And I said at the first that no doubt the main lesson from this book has to do with the kinsman redeemer. I assumed that we were all familiar, all of us here were familiar with this book. But I wanted to take some time and bring out some messages as we have gone through it that I see here in the Word. And tonight, from this chapter, I want to speak to us from two sayings of two different people. I want us to look first at the words of Boaz in verse 11. I will do for thee all that thou requirest. I will do for thee all that thou requirest. To what did his words refer? I will be to you the kinsman. Now, I said last week that when Naomi heard that Ruth had gleaned in the field of Boaz, that she began to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, for she knew the law concerning the kinsman. If you look back into chapter 2 and verse 19, we saw this. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord. She began to praise the Lord when she was told that she had wrought, that Ruth had wrought in the field of Boaz. And the reason she did so is because she knew the law. And Naomi knew that this man, as it continues there in verse 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi began to praise and bless the Lord when she heard that Ruth had wrought in the field of Boaz. And I would just remind us that we saw in that chapter, the scripture says it was her hap to go into the field of Boaz. And I pointed out to us that these fields were not marked. There were not signs over the gates. There were no fences. There were no gates. She just went into a common field. But her hap, because we know that God was directing her steps. There was an invisible hand directing her steps, just as there has been an invisible hand directing your steps all the days of your life. God's good providence. I had us turn and look at only one aspect of what the law commanded of the next of kin, of what the next of kin should do. I had us turn and look. I said that Naomi began to praise the Lord when she heard that Ruth had wrought in the field of Boaz, because she knew the law and she knew that Boaz was a near kinsman. And we looked at only one aspect of that law of the kinsman, and that aspect of the law was so that a man's name would not die out in Israel. Tonight, I would like for us to look at two other very important provisions in that law that dealt not just with a kinsman. We saw that last time, that aspect of the law which dealt merely with a kinsman. But tonight, with a kinsman redeemer, Let's turn back tonight to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25 and beginning in verse 23. This is part of the law. Leviticus 25, verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever. Punto. This is God's law. The land shall not be sold forever. for the land is mine. This is God speaking. This is God's land, the land of Canaan. And actually, we could say that about all of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. That word with is very important. You're not strangers and sojourners to me. Many people are, but not God's people. We are strangers and sojourners in this earth with him. We read just a few minutes ago back in my office, the Lord Jesus, his promise. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of the ages. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus. He was to count the years to the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, all the land was to be turned back to the owner. He shall count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which he sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it unto the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. Let me just remind us that when God brought Israel into the land of Canaan, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, and the land was divided by lot. Every tribe except the tribe of Levi received their portion, their inheritance in the land. And the land was a prosperous land, and with God's blessings. And that's important. With God's blessings, every man would have been bountifully supplied every needful thing. There would have been an abundance to meet his needs, the needs of his family, and over an abundance to give for the offerings of the Lord for the support of the priest, the tribe of Levi, and the family of Aaron. But that all was contingent. That all was depending upon their obedience. They had to obey. And God would water the land two times every year. God told them, this land's not like the land that you came out of, the land of Egypt. That land, he said, was watered with your feet. And I assume by that it means that they would open those sluice gates so that the water would flow in to their fields, the water from the Nile. But God said, this land's not like that. This land is dependent upon rain that I will give two times in the year. But it is according to your obedience, if you obey. Well, we know the history. We know the story. They soon turned aside to idolatry. And as this book of Ruth opens up, there was a famine in the land. Just as God provided the Savior before man actually sinned, God provided in the law this remedy for a man who sold his possession. Let me say that again. Just as God provided the Savior before man actually sinned, before Adam was created, before Adam disobeyed God, Christ already had a subsistence, and we know he was slain as a lamb from the foundation of the world. What I'm saying is, before there was a sinner, God had already provided a Savior. And before any man of the nation of Israel became poor and had to sell his property, God had already provided a way of redemption in the law. He established the law of the kinsman redeemer. The word redeem in this case primarily means to buy back. The land was already the man's inheritance that had been given him of God. But because of poverty, he had sold it. And the possession had passed to another owner. But God had a provision in the law, a provision made whereby the man might redeem his property. But the land could only be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. The man himself, yes, he could redeem the land if he were able, but no one else. I mean, just a man come along and say, you know, that's a nice looking field over there. I think I'd like to have that. And I know that man that owns it, he sold it. I'm going to redeem it. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're not a kinsman, a near kinsman, you're not going to redeem it. No, no. The land, or the word redeem, as I said, primarily means to buy back. And the greatest example we have, as far as I know today, is a pawn shop. When you take something that's yours and you pawn it and you receive a ticket to redeem that in so many days, if you pay what they have given you plus the interest, then you get your property back. I want you to look at an example in Jeremiah. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32, and verse 47, I'm sorry, that's Jeremiah 32, verse 6. Jeremiah 32 and verse 6. Now remember, Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied when Jerusalem was being besieged by the Babylonians and it was going to be taken, destroyed, burned by the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar and his army. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. He was Jeremiah's cousin. And his cousin came and told him of a field. And he told him, you are the one who has the right of redemption. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah bought the field. Let's read on, verse 9. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money and the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neri, the son of Maaseph, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. I like to call these examples in the book of Jeremiah object lessons, and this is an object lesson. Here they are going into captivity. The nation's going to be overrun, the capital destroyed, people carried into captivity. But God is telling them through this example, they're coming back. This land, you're going to live on this land again. That's the reason the purchase of the land was sealed and registered and all of that. Look down to the end of the chapter. Chapter 32, verse 42. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof you say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. An object lesson. Yes, it looks hopeless. Why would you want to buy property here? You're coming back. 70 years in Babylon. But yes, I am bringing my people back into this land. But the point is the right of redemption. Jeremiah's cousin told him, the right of redemption is yours. You have the right. That was important. Not just anyone could redeem. It had to be a near kinsman. Now I want you to look at a second example. That had to do with property. The near kinsman redeeming property. But let's go back to Leviticus chapter 25 again and see another case. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 47. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself. You see, this time he's not selling his property, he's selling himself. He's selling himself into servitude. And sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. So not only a man's property could be redeemed, but a man could be redeemed. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Now notice, or if, and this is a big if, and if he be able, he may redeem himself. Now, with any spiritual understanding at all, we all should be able to see that this is one of those shadows in the law of good things that were to come. That word, I emphasize, if he be able, in verse 49, he may redeem himself. I said that's a very large word, if. And many are deceived by Satan and by false religion and by the flesh into thinking that somehow they may redeem themselves. Not possible. How many people think that by their good works, yes, or by their decisions, or by religious rituals and religious traditions that they are going to be redeemed. Not so. Turn with me to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Now notice, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. The New American Standard Version translates those verses like this: even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of the soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. But I want you to notice in this psalm, the psalmist knew who is the redeemer and able to redeem the soul. No one else can. But look down in verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Let me read you a few verses in Hebrews chapter 2, which show us why it was necessary that Christ, to be our redeemer, he had to be our kinsman. The law of the kinsman redeemer. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we read, for as much then as the children. What children? Whose children? His children. He is the everlasting Father. He was given a bride, members of his body, a church, children, his seed. And the writer says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became a man, God did, became a man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and notice, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did he destroy him? How did he destroy Satan and his works? He did so at the cross. He crushed his head. When the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, in giving his life, he redeemed his people. The redemption of the soul is costly. Yeah. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Is costly. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know. Do you know this tonight? I do. And I'm so thankful that God has taught me. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful? For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, costly blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. From what did he redeem his people? Well, first of all, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So he redeemed us with his blood from the curse of the law. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that he redeemed us from all iniquity. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Christ is our near kinsman, and he redeemed us with his precious blood. That is his people. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from all iniquity. And yes, my friends, he redeemed us from the grave. Now, a kinsman redeemer had to meet these requirements. First of all, he had to be next of kin. Second, he had to be a person who didn't need to be redeemed himself. He couldn't be in debt. And third, he had to be able. And fourth, he had to be willing. Isn't that our Savior? Isn't that our Savior? He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh that he might be our near kinsman, redeemer. He didn't need redemption himself. He had no sin. He offered himself, the scripture says, without spot unto God. He was able. The blood of the Son of God, how do you put a price on that? And thank God he was willing. He was willing. Well, those are the words, what I want to say from the words of Naomi. Let me just mention these words of, Naomi. Oh, Boaz. Let me just mention the words of Naomi now in verse 18, if you look here in chapter 3 of Ruth. We've looked at the words of Boaz. He said to Ruth, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. But look at the words of Naomi in verse 18. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest. Now notice, until he have finished the thing. This day. The man Boaz serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man, but he's also God. He came on purpose to redeem his people. And the verse that we looked at in the Psalm said the redemption of their soul is precious. There's nothing that is more precious than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Naomi said that Boaz would not rest until he have finished the thing. What a picture of our Boaz, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he spoke of having a baptism with which he would be baptized. And he said, how am I straitened until it be accomplished? We know that baptism with which he was baptized, immersed, was a baptism of suffering and dying. Yet he was straitened until it was accomplished. He came on purpose, and he was eager to endure. Not that he looked forward to the sufferings, but he did look forward to satisfying God's justice and accomplishing salvation for his people. John 12, he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The Lord Jesus confessed to his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Just like Naomi said, Boaz, he will not rest until he have finished the thing this day. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he finished, he accomplished redemption for his people. He finished the work which the Father gave him to do. Now, bear with me, but I want to point this out. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, that redemption is spoken of both in the past tense and in the future tense. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. Hebrews 9:13. By his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained, past tense, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But also look down in verse 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1. And here redemption is spoken of in the future. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What does this have reference to? It has reference to the day when our bodies shall be redeemed from the grave. And we at that time shall receive a new body, a glorified body, a body like unto his glorious body. This body of our humiliation, that's the way Paul speaks of it, in which we now live, will turn back to the dust. But there's a redemption day coming, when all of his people shall be redeemed from the grave. Their bodies shall be raised and reunited with their souls. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The hymn writer said, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. May the Lord bless his word to all of us here this evening.